Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1071. This is your host, Danny, live from New York City. And also joining me for this episode, let's go with Paris, all the way from California, man. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing? Thank everyone that's watching us live and listening to us on the podcast. This should be a very interesting show.
All right. All the way from Switzerland, we have Peter. What's up,
Yo,
Pete?
How you doing, man? How you guys doing?
Good, good, man. What's up with you over there, man? How's the weather over there? Because it's getting cold over here in New York. It's like in the 50s now.
I mean, at night it gets in like the high 50s. I don't know if we've, I think we've broken 90 once in 2020 here in Switzerland. But for the most part, it's like mid to high 80s. I'd say low to mid 80s. And then at night it drops to about 50, you know, the high 50s and low 60s. It's been really, really good. Open the windows. Actually, since there's not really air conditioning here in Switzerland or in Europe in general, you know, I just pop open the windows, open my shutters, and just let the breeze blow through the apartment. We're good.
Nice, nice. All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Also, if you have Amazon Music, either app or, let's say, Alexa, you could also say, play Gamertag Radio to Alexa, and they'll play it, the latest episode. Really cool feature there, man. But if you find us through any other app, just subscribe, follow us, and share with your friends. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Paris for being one of the chosen few to pre-order the PlayStation 5 with no issues last week. Because it's been a struggle for a lot of people, man. I'm going to make this story short, but last week we had a live stream and we recorded our reaction and everything. Right after the showcase, PlayStation, from their official social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, said that the pre-order was going to start the next day. But it didn't, because according to Jeff Keighley and also Router64 and a bunch of other people, retailers started pre-ordering. The pre-order system already started really early, so that was a little bit confusing there. But let's go with Paris. Paris, how was it for you to pre-order a PlayStation 5 digital? Because according to you, you said it was going to be a unicorn.
It is a unicorn. I just happened to grab the unicorn. I used my magic wand and got one. No, it was, ironically enough, I have to give it up to our community. Someone hit me up and was like, yo, Amazon is selling PlayStation 5s right now. So I was like, oh, okay. So I immediately, and I have like one click set up and everything. So I just went on Amazon and the all digital was sitting there. So I hit one click and I got it. So I got the all digital version. Now I also got that Amazon email of doom where they were basically sent it to everyone that was able to pre-order to let them know, hey, may not be able to get it on launch day, whatever, which honestly for me is fine. I just went ahead and secured it, like I had said before, the first chance I got, because I know eventually I was going to want it. But I don't necessarily need the PlayStation 5 at launch day. Would it be great? Absolutely. I'll get Miles Morales and play that. But at least I've secured my place in line so that even if it does get delayed, whenever an all digital is available through Amazon stock, I'll get one. I'm pretty sure I'll get one on at launch, since I was obviously one of the first people to be able to pre-order it. But yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. Like we've been saying the past few weeks, what is the ratio between the disc and the all digital version? I mean, we saw what GPD was posting statistically. It just looks like the pre-orders at a lot of these brick and mortars have skewed heavily towards the disc version over the all digital. So it's going to be fascinating in a couple months to see how all this plays out.
What is your theory? Because I know you've been on other shows and also on our show, you talked about that it's going to be a unicorn and everything. But why do you think PlayStation has less digital than the physical? Is it because they just want people to buy the physical, or they just want to have it as like a $3.99 headlined everywhere? Or why do you think that's happening though, Paris?
Well, it's like I've said before, it's $3.99. They're losing a lot of money at $3.99, you know, disc or not. The technology just says it's way more expensive than that. So you're going to sell out in 2020 anyways, no matter what the price was going to be. So you flood the market with the more expensive one. People are going to buy it up anyways. And then next year's manufacturing costs go down. Now you start to make more of the all digital ones. And then you just go from there. To me, that's what I would do if I was in that position. That's a call I would make. I would probably have the ratio anywhere between five to one, six to one, something like that, you know, The disc version versus the all digital. Because that way, in all their marketing, every time you see an advertisement on TV or in a magazine or something, it can say PlayStation starting at $3.99. But when you try to go buy one this holiday, you're going to spend $4.99. Or they're going to, and we've already seen it with like GameStop and stuff like that. They're already starting to create these crazy bundles as well. So they're going to, look, people are buying it regardless. So they're going to make sure that they make their money back. You know, slowly but surely. And then, like I said, probably next year you'll see more all digitals hit the market.
AP, what are your thoughts about all this, man? Seeing that it's people are either very excited because they got the system pre-ordered, or people that are just struggling just to pre-order any version of the console.
And everybody knows me whenever I talk with you guys, I'm always trying to look at it from the pragmatic business standpoint, right? Like what are the dollar figures and how does that apply? And while I wouldn't say it's consumer friendly, obviously the move to do this unicorn procedure, as Paris, you know, likes to has been pushing for the past couple of weeks. It makes sense, like, right? From a business perspective, right? If you're looking at it, their main goal is to sell units and make paper, right? What's the best way to do that? Is to, and I don't want to say force, but I think it's probably easier to say to nudge consumers over to the more expensive ones. You're still making people happy because on paper, hey, $3.99 starting at, but knowing more people are going to, you know, be forced in a sense to go towards the more expensive console. The question is, which is more egregious, or which is the one that's least negative impacting towards the business or towards the name, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they're selling out, and we knew this regardless of regardless of the price structure, et cetera. We knew from the past generation that their product was going to sell out. And that always goes back to the question of, you know, the paper inventory, so, you know, conversation that we kind of had last week, right? Are they purposefully minimizing allocation of inventory? And we could have this conversation whether we're talking about this or the 3080, et cetera. But that same conversation applies, right? Are they doing this on purpose to ensure that they keep that revenue stream and that hype for inventory up? Because we know that people, you know, as soon as they sell out, that is going to generate that need to have emotion in consumers. And that's, as soon as that inventory opens up, people are going to flock to those websites and flock to the brick and mortars and buy out the product immediately, just like it did last week, right? Just like it did, you know, within minutes. So we're going to see this. We're going to see continuing cycles of this all the way up to and more than likely beyond the holiday season.
Now, my question for you guys and about all this is, you know, Tuesday, the 22nd, that's when Xbox is going to start pre-orders for the Xbox Series X and the S. Do you think it's going to be hard to find the S because it's $299? Do you think it's going to be a lot easier? So far, as of right now, retail stores haven't started the pre-orders yet at all. So that's a good thing, because I think Xbox been saying that if any retailers break their embargo, they're going to penalize any of the stores that makes that move. So that's a good thing. Do you think it's going to be an issue to find these consoles too? Let's go with Paris.
Yes, I do. I do. I think after the initial pre-orders, they're gonna be very similar to PlayStation and sell out on the first day, and then they'll obviously start to trickle in over the next couple of months leading up to launch. I will still contend that S is going to be the bigger seller between the two, just because of the price and what it can do at that price, and the fact that most people don't care about 4K, that one just makes more sense to go get. So yeah, I do. Now the more interesting thing, and I know Pete will probably get into the 380 stuff in a little bit, is going to be how these retailers are going to fight off the bots that are going to come in with their scripts and try and buy all this stuff up right away and then throw it up on eBay, you know, for double the price. I said this on XCast. I would tell anyone that's looking to pre-order one of these Xboxes on the 22nd, your first choice should probably be Amazon, because if there's going to be any site that's going to be able to handle the load, it's going to be them, because they are the literal backbone of the internet with AWS. So I would try them first. Not to mention, make sure wherever it is you're trying to go, get registered, get all your payment information, shipping address, all that ready to go. If they have a one-click option, take advantage of that as well, so that when you do get that item in your cart, you can just hit one button and you're good, versus having to try and, because if you'll waste way too much time trying to, you know, register your account, put in your credit card information and all that. And by the time you do all that, poof, it's gone. So if you're trying to get an Xbox S or S, X or S, Jesus Christ, plan ahead. That's all I'm saying. Figure out the retailers that you want to do online. Like I said, Amazon obviously is going to be a good one. Best Buy, the Microsoft store themselves online. Newegg's going to be selling places like that. Places that can handle the load of traffic that's going to be able to come in. And just pre-prepare and be ready to go right when the starting gates open at 8 a.m. Pacific in the United States. I think it's 8 a.m. no matter the region, right? Or am I wrong about
that? It's 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern.
But what about Europe? Europe, was 8 a.m. as well, right?
Really? Right. I think it's...
Curious if people are going to... I'm curious if that means people are going to do what they did for video game launches, right? Just sign up to a VPN, log into Europe. You're detected with an EU time zone or EU IP address, so they'll give it to you at that time.
But
also would say that they would be forced to buy from that place, and you'd be hit with that global shipping tax. So
yeah, I wouldn't do that personally. I wouldn't do that. Wait, I'm just looking for the times, and please keep talking. I'll jump in.
Yeah. Find the exact well, time. Here's my theory that I think it's going to happen, and I mentioned this to you guys already privately, but this is going to be the first time that I mention this on a podcast. But I think that there is going to be more S than X, and there's going to be more S than the digital version. And the reason is Microsoft knows that the $299 version is going to sell like crazy, right? So I think the reason why they're doing that is because Microsoft wants to say, as like a headline for media, this is like the biggest product of the holidays or whatever, you know? So instead of what PlayStation is doing, saying starting $399, but it's hard to find and everybody's buying the $499 version, I think by Microsoft doing that, there's going to be a lot of people buying that cheap $299 console, and it's going to create headlines like from the main major media, I think, you know. So but speaking about that, about 3080, because I know Paris mentioned this very quick. Pete, did you try to pre-order that last week, or you were just like, you knew that people were gonna like pre-order that very quick and it was gonna sell out like within
seconds? The meme says, I ain't got time for all that. Okay. Internally, I have been talking to friends either, you know, on Discord or, you know, my close friends in the States, and we've all come to the realization that up front, at least from my perspective, And I might be that unique case, right? So this is just what fits for me. I have 1440 monitors. I don't have 4K monitors on my rig, on my desktop. So whatever gigantic boost I would have gotten won't apply to me. Fine. Yes. I won't be able to take full advantage of DLSS 3.0, I think it is, for this. And the full, you know, ray tracing and RTX technology, I wouldn't get 100% of that. But from a pure frames perspective, yes, I'm on a 2080 Ti overclock. And the pure frame, from a pure frames perspective, the performance numbers are negligible, right? There's maybe a 10%, you know, parity difference between the 3080 and my 2080 Ti. So, and again, that all depends on the physical hardware you're running. That all depends on the game itself. But I think right now, between all of those factors, plus from an aesthetics perspective, I spent a lot of time curating the parts on this machine to so that it looks the way it does. And none of the Founders Edition cards, or none of the AIBs or third party cards, fit the aesthetic of my case. And for me, part of my PC gaming build is the appearance of it, right? It's the interior of it is mostly white. And for me to throw this big dark gray, bronzish, matte black, you know, GPU in the middle of it, as great as it performs and as great as it will give me from a performance perspective, it throws it off and I would be unhappy. So, and I've already learned my lesson looking at that kingpin back there on the desk. It doesn't make sense, right? So for me personally, I would rather wait because from my perspective, it's a lot more expensive for me to have to buy a GPU and buy new 4K monitors to be able to truly see that visual difference. And then if we're really going to go into the Gen 3, Gen 4 PCIe conversation, I'd have to change out my motherboard, which means changing out my processor, which is all, I might as well just build a whole new computer. Because then we're, you know, I also have to consider looking into a new power supply potentially as well. So at that point, it's almost too expensive for me to do that next gen jump to go into the 3080. And I just don't see the extreme value in it for me personally. Obviously, your mileage may vary depending on the hardware and the internals that you have. Like Paris has already future-proofed himself on his build because he'd already gone with his AMD stuff. So, you know, congrats to him for doing that. But, you know, my rig turns a year old next month. And with everything I have in it, I don't feel compelled. Now, somebody out there wants to go ahead and gift one, or if NVIDIA or a partner, one of the partner companies want to go there ahead and send one over for review, I would be glad to be happy to do it. But I don't have the opportunity right now to be able to take care of that. So,
yeah, no, it's good. It's good that you see it that way. You take your time, and whenever you feel it's like the right time to upgrade, you go for it, man. So,
it's funny. It's because I'm watching the stream right now, and I just saw Paris drinking water out of his thing like he's drinking tea.
Yo, Paris. So,
I had to quench my thirst.
So I saw your tweets. And
well, can I say this one thing? Because God, I literally we've gone into a completely different direction. All I want to say is the Xbox pre-orders, yes, in Europe, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, US, all are 8 a.m. on the 22nd in your time zone. So there you go. That's all I want to say. Okay.
Okay. Damn, I don't know what you had to scream. You could just say that, you know, nicely. You don't have to scream at people. But anyways.
scream at me all the time.
All right. So how was it for you, Paris? Because I know you tried to pre-order too. Because I saw your tweets. You're like, I have to be patient, you know, this and this, that, you know. But how was your experience, first of all, trying to pre-order the 3080 for you?
Oh, it sucked. It sucked because I was up, ready to go. I had like six different browsers. Hey, look, all this advice I'm giving about the Xbox, I did this for the 3080. I had all the Best Buy, Amazon, Newegg, the NVIDIA site. I had everything up, ready to go. I had my Now in Stock site, everything. There's a secret Discord channel that posts stuff too. I had that up and right at 6 a.m., I'm ready. I'm hitting refresh and went from notify me to sold out instantly on the NVIDIA site. Best Buy teased me a couple times. Like I would get something in the cart and then poof, it would be gone. Amazon never saw anything. Newegg never saw anything. Obviously the servers all got hammered right at 6 a.m. When the stuff went live. So I struck out. I didn't get anything. I gave it like 30 minutes and I just tapped out. But we did find out that, yeah, I mean, the scalpers, they were running bots and scripts. And like the NVIDIA site, as an example, people were snatching up like 20 at a time using those scripts. And Bounce Alerts, I believe that's the company that was providing the scripts because they were bragging about it on social media. And yeah, it sucks, dude. And I keep referencing XCast. When I was on XCast, Alana was talking about this because she's a sneakerhead. And she goes through this all the time where these bots go out and they snatch up all the product and then they throw it up on eBay for, you know, double and triple the price. So this happened with the 3080 as well. And that's why I was saying, just got to be patient. I didn't need it. I don't need it today. I mean, I just wanted to secure it if I could. So I'll just be patient and wait till more comes in stock and I'll get one. Look, as long as I get it before Cyberpunk, I'm good. That's honestly all I care about. So yeah, and like in Pete's scenario, like I had the PC I have right now, I specifically built for this moment. I built it for Cyberpunk. I built it to be able to play in 4K and to do all the things I plan to do. And the 3080 is literally just the last piece to the puzzle. So I'll get it in the next couple months. I've been following a lot of, like I said, there's this Discord channel I'm on. Where they're tracking a lot of stuff as it comes in stock. So as soon as it does, I will. I've been stalking Jacob over at EVGA on Twitter, and he's saying next week they're planning to get thousands of cards spread out across their various retailers. So, you know, I'll get one. You know, NVIDIA said they're going to have more in stock as well. So I'll get one is the point I'm trying to make. And it really sounds like in October, if you really want to get a 3080, you'll get a 3080. Not to mention the 3090 goes on sale next week. And I know there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to run out and try and get that. I'm not planning to be one of those people because I don't think I need a 3090. I'm going to stick with a 3080. But yeah, so patience. That's all it is. I would say to anyone that is trying to get one of these cards, do not give in to these scalpers on eBay. That's part of the problem. Is people are willing to spend $2,000 on a $700 card. That's insanity. Don't do that. Just wait. Look, your video games will look pretty in enough time. You don't need to run out and go get a day one. So that's all. Just be patient and know that unfortunately this is the world we live in now where you can run these bots and these scripts and these retailers are just gonna have to build in more deterrence, you know, to slow them down. They're not going to be able to stop them 100%. That's just virtually impossible. But they can at least slow them down so that real customers who actually want to buy this stuff can get a chance to get in there and get these things. Because look, it happened for the 3080. It happened for the PlayStation 5 on a smaller level since it was chaos as far as when stuff went on sale. But it will happen for Xbox. Remember that. It's going to happen on the 22nd as well.
Yeah, apparently it's a bot service that people pay about $75 a month.
Bounce Alerts, and that's what it's called.
Yeah, and it allows them to get the leg up on initial buys, not just for stuff like this, not just for like electronics or PlayStation 5s, etc. But if you're a sneakerhead and you want to get a brand new pair of limited edition kicks, you can use that same service and it'll put you at the front of the line. And I don't know how they do it, and it doesn't matter how much I think from what I watched, apparently NVIDIA is going through individual orders and like auto selecting or removing potential bot, what looks like bot purchases. So it's a very strange situation. I never thought that it would have gotten to this, but it's funny of all the companies, you know, NVIDIA now, who owns what I think they're in AI, you know, now they're trying to focus into AI. They should have the technology that'll be able to determine whether it's a bot, whether you have a CAPTCHA, whatever thing or service on your shopping center. It's gotten to that point. So again, like you said, patience. I have it. I didn't think I was going to. I thought I would be one of those people that, hitting F5, you know, frantically on my keyboard, but I didn't bother.
No, but I got to give props to NVIDIA, and I know now PlayStation, they just, you know, posted a tweet or a blog post apologizing to the fans. And like you said, Paris, they're going to add more stock in the future. So people just got to be patient, man, you know. But But now we have some fan mail questions here that we're going to play here on the podcast. So let's go. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. Which voicemail are you going to play first? Mr. Paris.
I'm going to play voicemail number one.
Hey, what's up there, Gamertag Radio? This is Joe from San Antonio. Actually, now Cleveland. I just moved back home. So, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, to be honest. I ended up pre-ordering the Oculus Quest, and then about 10 minutes later, I canceled that pre-order. So, we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to get that 3080 tomorrow. And, you know, the way I'm looking at things, I think the Xbox Series S is going to be my platform of choice because I have a 1440 monitor and it's HDR and 144 hertz. I think it's going to go perfect. So that's what I'm thinking. 3080, Xbox Series S, and no PlayStation.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. So, Pete, let's start with you. What do you think?
I might as well be Joe, right? Because it just makes sense, right? Whether it's the 3080 or the Xbox Series S, both of them are 1440 platform max resolution devices, right? So in that regards, that Joe is me and I am Joe in this regard, right? That's why I said earlier that the 3080 would be where I would go because the 2080 Ti that I currently have fits my current goal. Now, could he do more, right? You know, could he go for more? He could, but same as my PC, the Xbox Series S maxes out or gives you its best performance at 1440p. It's a no-brainer. Why go above your means if you don't have to? And he's happy with his monitor. From the sounds of it, he probably has the Dell 2700 because that's what I think is SDR 2716 or whatever, but it's 144 hertz, 1440p, 1 millisecond response. There's no reason to go above your means to try to hit to that next level if you don't need to. Like I said earlier, I would have to buy 4K monitors and uplift a bunch of my equipment just to accommodate going to that next level. And it just doesn't make sense. And it's just in this society, in this current situation now we're all in, is it really necessary to start throwing thousands of dollars just to get that next frame increase? We don't know where our next dollar is going to be or where our next dollar is going to go. And it's just for me, it's the more value branded decision at this point.
Mm-hmm. Danny?
Yeah, like I mentioned this to Paris the other day. Like, I've been curious about the S. So if I get the S, I mean, where I'm at right now, I don't have a 4K TV. I left that in Miami. So I don't mind using the S for a while until I have my own place. Then I'll upgrade to a 4K. Like, there's no rush, but I still could play the same games either if I have the S or not. So, so that's what I think.
That actually gives me makes me ask you the question then, Danny. Mm-hmm. Is there an overlying reason to buy the Series S other than just to have it? Because if you don't have 1440p, you're really not going to get that extreme super advantage. Like, mm-hmm. do you see yourself having like that pressure on your shoulder to buy it?
No, it's not no pressure, but it's more of like I have the Xbox One X, so I could trade that in, get the S. It's going to be a lot faster when it comes to like loading time. So, for example, I was playing the new Outer Worlds, the new expansion that just came out a couple of days ago. And you could tell like the loading is a little bit slow. It's even slower for the Switch, by the way. So by getting either the S or the X, loading time is going to be a lot faster for certain games, you know. So that's the main reason. Like, I know when it comes to like next gen games, I know that's coming out like in the future. But I'm more focused of just loading time faster. You know, that's the reason why I'm getting
it. So you're getting the S?
Either the S or the X. But for now, the S is fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess you didn't answer the question
because no, but I just did because of the because it loads a lot faster than the X. Like that's the main reason why I want to get it. You know, and I'm also a techie guy. Like I'm always buying stuff like day one when it comes out. You know, so you know.
But that's not what he asked you.
Jesus Christ! What else you want me to say? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say, Pete?
I think he's what, okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I just told you.
Are you asking him if he's getting the X or the X or the S? Is that what you're asking? Repeat what you said, Pete. Please.
He said why. I just mentioned why the reason that I'm pre-ordering it.
No. Just for load times, literally, Cersei. I'm not asking it.
Jesus Christ!
Load times is the only reason.
No. Let me.
That's my money. That's the reason why I'm pre-ordering it. That's the reason why I'm getting it.
Why are you
it. What else do you want me to say?
Why are you getting
no,
heated?
Why, it's just what a else do you want me to say?
Between three friends.
And I'm answering your freaking question. And I'm answering your question.
Wow. You see this? Do you see this? Are you listening to the vitriol I got to deal with this guy here?
Yes.
Jesus.
Let me dream. It's my freaking money, and that's what I'm pre-ordering it.
Okay.
Someone sounds enhanced.
So let me rephrase the question. I understand wanting the load times and all that. I'm not arguing. That ain't the argument here. What I'm asking is, because you don't have 4K TV, do you get the S or the X? And don't say either one. You got to choose. Which one?
Paris, I just said the S. I just said, look, S.
S. Thank you. That's it. That's it. Literally 20 minutes on this. And that's all you had to say was S.
Like a snake. There you go.
Snake jazz.
Call Danny's Cobra Commander now, moving forward.
Cobra Commander. That's a good one. That's good.
Well, the reason I said all that was because you're actually the classic example of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think the S is going to be the bigger seller of the two because the majority of people are in your situation where they don't have a 4K TV. They don't care about the resolution. It's the cheaper price. And it does everything the X does. I mean, hell, Jason Ronald and Eurogamer had a fantastic article, or Digital Foundry, or I guess it was Eurogamer, same thing, had a fantastic article that came out about the S and its backwards compatibility because people were freaking out about the backwards compatibility because it's not doing what the X does, and it's basing its backwards compatibility off the S, the One S. And the way the Series S is doing enhanced things, it's doing things even the One X can't do as far as backwards compatibility goes, but it's doing it at 1440p. And again, it ain't about the resolution. It's about the features that it's bringing and those enhancements. I'm telling you, I was so against that S. And, you know, you roll the tape. The receipts are out there. I was completely against the S. Thought, why the hell are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. Make just one damn SKU. The 4K, the Bs, the most powerful console, blah, 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 blah. But now that we're actually seeing what the S is, the only thing I hold against it is the smaller SSD drive. Because you will run out of space quickly, even though I guess the game sizes will be 30% smaller than the X's, but still, it's 512, dude. You're really only probably getting about 380 of usable space, so you're going to use that up super quick. You're going to have to get whatever that expansion hard drive thing is going to be, and let's see how much that's going to cost. But the point is, it's going to do all the next-gen things that the X can do. It'll have the fast load time. It will do some ray tracing, not one for one of what the X is going to do, but it is a next gen console and it's $300. I mean, it, and again, unless you care about 4K, you're good. You're really good getting that thing at $299.
But here's the thing that a lot of people haven't mentioned is I could still use my old hard drive which is 4 terabytes. I have all my games from the Xbox One, right? All these next gen games that's going to be using the SSD drive, that's like in the future. That's not now.
Yes. So yeah, you're correct. Yes.
So we can still use the hard drive for a while until once you get to see like games like Fable, the next Forza, maybe Halo Infinite. I don't know if it's going to be like that too, but certain games in the future, yes, you need that drive. But if you still have your old one for your Xbox One, you can still use it for this for like a year or so.
Right.
Or maybe 2 years.
Yeah, it won't be until fine. Yeah, it won't be until games like Forza and Avowed mm-hmm. and Fable and things like that come yep. out where mm-hmm. they have to be on that SSD. Because again, Major Nelson's latest podcast, Jason Ronald, was on there. And they yeah. specifically talked about this. And he goes through exactly what you're saying, Danny, that if you have that USB 3.0 external drive, you can literally unplug it from your Xbox One and plug it directly into your Series X or S. And you're good to go for those games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, there's going to be some wiggle room. I'm just fascinated to see what the price of that 1 terabyte, that external 1 terabyte drive is going to be that you plug in. If it's around $100, I think that's fair. That's pushing it. That's really pushing it. Trust me. There's been rumors of it being up to like $240. I don't think it'll be that much. I got a feeling it's going to be like $150. That's what
is
I think.
Is that the Gen 4 compatible one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's the same SSD that is internal because it functions exactly the same.
I think we talked about this on the Discord channel, right? On the GTR Discord channel, where like you break down the pricing, and like even if you're looking at like the cheapest one, I think it was like a Sabrent Rocket 1 terabyte Gen 4. Was like $189, and you got to think, okay, just a couple of bits of plastic around it, some branding, and that adapter. That $229, that $225 to $240 price almost makes sense, right?
It does. It does.
Maybe you can get away with going USB 3.0. You won't have that high speed link using Gen 4 technology, and so it kind of makes sense. But if you're really trying to match that performance for that onboard hard drive, you're going to have to spend the bread to get that, I think. So they might have options. They might have, similar to the SS, the Series S and Series X, you'll have the lower price option for the casual market, but then you'll have that higher performing component for the more hardcore or dedicated, consumer.
Yeah, one last thing before we go to the next voicemail. Another reason why I want to get the S is because of space. Hermet.
Space.
That thing is... No, it's going to be too hard to have that set up over here, the X, So. yeah, but that's about space. All right, so let's go with the next voicemail.
All right, here we go.
I was a man. Yes.
Stop saying that, you hear you making me crazy.
All right, I beat an ass.
What the hell was that?
That was Snake Jazz. All right, and this is voicemail 3.
What's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just want to ask you guys two things. By the way, you guys are amazing, man. Truly, truly and surely. But do you guys really think that the $300 price point for a Xbox Series S is really going to move units? Do you guys really think that that's going to make a big difference when the PlayStation Digital Edition is $100 more and you're getting a real, true, next-gen experience? The reason why I'm asking this is because in the foreseeable future, Sony has shown huge AAA games are coming. Ratchet and Clank. They have Horizon, even though it's on the PlayStation 4, I get it. They have Spider-Man, Miles Morales, that's on the PlayStation 4 as well. I get it. But God of War 2, now whether or not that comes out in 2021, something else to be discussed at that time. But seeing the games that are on the horizon with the PlayStation 5, do you guys really think that $300 price point is really going to make that big of a difference, especially since Microsoft doesn't have the one key thing that we all want, and that's the games. Right now, they don't have any. So that's my, of course they have some, but y'all know what I mean. But that's my question to you guys. Anyway, you guys have a great one, and Jim Ryan, man, talk about throwing shots at the Series S, saying that type of model has never really done too much. How do you guys feel about those comments? All right, let me get out of here. Sorry for the long-winded message.
Bye-bye.
All right, this is how I feel about it, Keon. Thank you for that voicemail. Jim Ryan obviously doesn't know what the hell he's talking about because that was a misinformed comment that he made, because this type of console has never existed before, number one. Right. So how could it not? You don't know. We don't know how it's going to perform. Like we just said before, I think the Series S will sell very well. And I understand what he means as far as the PlayStation 5 all digital. Totally. I get that. And that thing's going to sell like hotcakes too when it's out. But the reason that Series S is going to sell, and I use my wife as the example every time, I don't exist. She walks into a retail store. She has to get a new console for the kids. She's going to see $499, $299. You're getting that because it's the cheapest one. So that right there is going to sell it to the quote unquote parent that isn't hip and understands how all this stuff works. And there's a lot of those. So right there, it's a value price point. They're going to go get it. Look, you look at the Switch. The Switch, $299, sells like hotcakes. But as far as he's saying in comparison to the PlayStation 5 and the and, you know, and Xbox with the game stuff, no, he's correct. I mean, I've said it forever. PlayStation has proven, we know what their rogues gallery looks like. So we know what to expect. We know what's coming next year with Ratchet and Clank. God of War is coming. Horizon Forbidden West is going to be up in there somewhere. That might be 2022, but we'll see. Obviously, Miles Morales in the short term. Demon's Souls is coming. Things like that. So there are some banging games that are coming for PlayStation 5. And at $399, yes, people will run out and go buy that. So he's not incorrect. Microsoft, look, they got screwed with Halo Infinite. They did. Because that was going to be the flagship this holiday for them. All the marketing was going to be geared towards. They unfortunately put all their eggs in the Halo basket. And that didn't work. So now they're in scramble showing the value of Game Pass and backwards compatibility and stuff like that. So in the short term, he's right. They do not have, you know, any games that they can have as a tentpole to show. Yep, that's the reason to go get a Series X or an S, you know, moving forward. Because the games like Avowed, Fable, Forza on down the line, those are all coming later. We would assume, knock on wood, Halo Infinite will probably be holiday 2021. If it comes earlier, great. If it doesn't, I think at worst, you know, it'll be a year from now. So Microsoft has to play up the value prospect of that Series S, you know, for the short term, because they don't have games that they can showcase right now, except their back catalog and the value of Game Pass. So I don't know. Danny, what do you think?
I think the average person, like, for example, Paris, like you mentioned your wife, they really don't know about none of that stuff at all. So if Microsoft could market this in a way where, oh man, I could buy a $299 console and it's going to have over 100 games that I just pay monthly and it's for this price, oh, I'm going to go for it. So imagine if bundle, it'll come with like a 3-month of like Xbox Game Pass or something like that, right? That is perfect. That, dude, at the end of the day, the average consumer don't read or do listen to the podcast. They don't go to like major websites. They just want to see what's the cheapest console that has like the most games. Let me just buy that for my daughter or for my son, right? And that's all they care about. They don't go out there and read like, so it has the latest Miles Morales game or Demon's Souls. They don't care about that stuff. Us, the hardcore, we do care about that. So when it comes to the hardcore side, yeah, it might hurt Microsoft a bit short term, but long term, I think it's going to help them out. Plus, a lot of people might pre-order the PlayStation 5 and they'll probably will go and get the Xbox All Access and pay either $25 a month and they get everything or $35 a month, $35 a month and get all those services, man, you know, for that price. So, and plus the consoles, you know, so we might see that too. That's going to benefit Xbox too, you know, so just want to say that very quick. And there's Paris showing Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
Where's mine? I got to
show mine. Well, mine's Pete, what do you think?
It's a good question that he poses, right? My question when Sony finally announced their pricing was whether PlayStation 5 was still a better deal or value at the end of the day. Because yes, the Series S is the cheaper model. But the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, to me, I think still provides a better value because it's literally the PlayStation 5 without a disc drive. That's the only difference between the two hardware platforms. You're still able to play at 4K. You don't get underpowered like the Series S by having a different GPU or SoC. If Microsoft would have done that for Lockhart, I think it would have made that a more like for like or more apples to apples conversation, right? Having a making the disk drive the difference between the two. I understand Microsoft's decision to do that. And yes, you can start comparing, you know, side parts, you know, catalog versus, you know, services, et cetera, back and forth, blah, blah, blah. But to me personally, I still think that the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition is the better value. And that's that becomes the question then, right? What is value to you? In my personal opinion, you know, I know, like, I was just going through my timeline right after the announcement, and I saw, like, Windows Central Gaming said, you know, with everything out in the open, Xbox Series S is the clear value winner for 2020 holiday season. But I disagree with that. I think that the digital edition of PlayStation 5 is the better value because you're actually getting a full PlayStation 5 just without a disc. And for me personally, again, mm-hmm. your mileage will vary on this. But for me, not having a hardware limitation other than the disc drive for only $100 less, that poses the bigger, better value for me.
The only issue with that, Pete, and I agree with you that it's pretty good when it comes to that, $399, get 4K, everything, right? The only thing is they don't have Sony doesn't have a lot of units out there, so it's going to hurt them during the holidays, while Microsoft is going to have more of the S in stores, and people are going to find that all the time. That, what do you mean I don't know that?
Nothing's got on sale, so you can't say they're going to have more units on sale. So That's just an opinion. No, you can't state that.
You're right, but I'm not going to say anything, but we'll see. We'll see.
Reality of being wrong hits Danny.
It's not being wrong. It's more of like, here's the thing. Both companies want to have that headline. Like, this is the hot product of the holidays, right? So if you see people walking out with those units, the major media is gonna cover that, right? But if you don't have it online and you only have the most expensive one, How's that gonna help? You know, like, people, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see once both consoles launches in November. But I think it's gonna be
a lot
easier.
Shout out to Jay Van Beveren. You pulled a classic Jay move. We'll see.
And he is safe. Slides into home plate. Jesus, Danny. Yeah.
I mean, being serious for a second, I get with Danny what you're saying on that, because look, logically, it does seem like there's going to be more Xboxes out there than it is PlayStation 5s. It really does seem like Microsoft has been planning this for a long time. So it sounds like they got them sitting there just ready to go versus mm-hmm. PlayStation. Again, rumors, there's probably some smoke to it, have had some manufacturing issues. So there's not going to necessarily be as many of them this holiday as maybe they initially hoped. Again, like you said, we'll see. But I do think there will be more Series S's than there will be PlayStation 5 all digitals this holiday. I'm willing to take that bet for sure. And I think Microsoft is banking on that because, again, it's bringing that value proposition. Microsoft right now you tried to cut me off. Stop it. Microsoft right now is trying to get the hardware back into consumer homes so that they can subscribe to Game Pass. That's their end game. They want you subscribing to Game Pass. They don't care. I shouldn't say they don't care because I don't know. I'm not in those meetings. But it seems they don't care if they make a profit on these Xboxes more so than it's their Trojan horse to get one in your home by making it as cheap as possible. And then you see the value of Game Pass, you subscribe to Game Pass to get you locked in on that. And that's where they're making their bread. You know what I mean? So, again, two different philosophies that are coming in on this. But look, maybe not as different as we once thought. We haven't talked about that, actually. PlayStation 5 games are going to be playable on PlayStation 4. What happened with that? I thought that wasn't going to happen.
Yes, yes.
It's all about generations, man. It's all about generations. I mean, I don't know, man.
And look, I know that's going to make some people out there on the internet whose lives are miserable very mad. But in the end of the day, we all win. We're the ones that win for that. Because now, guess what? Even if I don't get a PlayStation 5 all digital at launch, I can still get Miles Morales and I can still play it because I already have a PlayStation 4. You see what I'm saying? So this is where, look, Sony, look, they you can get mad at them, call them liars, whatever, fine. But they let Microsoft take all the heat because Microsoft was up front back in January about doing this. They're the ones that took all the heat. And then Sony at last minute, oh yeah, by the way, we're doing it too. Right? And that kind of flew under the radar. Mm-hmm. And they aren't getting the flack that Xbox took over the course of the year. You know, actually, it's kind of smart that they did that, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, they're both doing the same thing. They're doing the same exact thing. There is no way in hell PlayStation was going to leave behind 110 million PlayStation 4 owners. They weren't doing that. So, of course, the games that aren't taking advantage... Actually, let me backtrack. Excuse me. There's a couple things going on here. This is the first two generations that share the same exact architecture at its core, x86, right? Mm-hmm. So this allows them the flexibility that games that don't take advantage of the SSD drive, they can have them also playable on the PlayStation 4. Okay, it doesn't do ray tracing and all this other cool stuff, but you can still play the game, right? That's what matters. See, they're choking me out. They're like, you're making too much sense. but the point is, they're expanding their customer base. Why not have Miles Morales available to your entire PlayStation 4 audience who may not, even if they want to, be able to get a PlayStation 5 right away, but they can still spend that $60 or $50 and $70 on Miles Morales, right? That's the point. Microsoft was pretty open about, yep, we're going to make sure Halo is available to everybody because we're trying to expand our customer base. We're trying to maximize our profits. So that's exactly what Sony's doing. So yeah, Miles Morales is playable. Horizon Forbidden West is playable. God of War, don't be shocked if that's playable on PlayStation 4. Ratchet & Clank seems to be the one that won't be. I know, Danny, you got your Conspiracy Steve stuff, but Ratchet & Clank seems like it is actually taking advantage of the SSD to do what it's doing. So it can't be playable on PlayStation 4. And I think that's what we're seeing here, where like Microsoft would have vowed Fable, Forza, things like that are going to take advantage of that SSD. So they can't be playable on Xbox One. Whereas Halo Infinite, as an example, will be. It seems like Everwild, as an example, will be, because they're not taking advantage of SSD. It's really comes down to those simple terms. Like, I think Aaron Greenberg said this right after they did the showcase and we talked to him. He said, it's literally a game-by-game basis. If it can't play on Xbox One, it will. If it can't, it won't. It's really that simple. It comes down to what the development studio is doing and what they're taking advantage of. And obviously, as the years go by, you'll see less and less of this, and more games will just be next-gen only. They're both doing it. And PlayStation's also putting games on PC, which Microsoft has been doing as well. So they're different, but they're the same. And that's, I'm just going to say it directly because I know some people hear this and they're getting mad, and you should get mad because you need to check your own life. Console wars are freaking dumb. These are why they're so freaking dumb. Play whatever the hell you want, where you want, and enjoy the damn games. People waste more time on social media arguing about this crap than they do actually playing the game. Think about that.
100%.
Paris is here to collect rent. Paris is here to collect the rent.
That is true. But you know, if you go back and check out like the showcase from Xbox, you'll see at the bottom of every time they show a game, it will say it's going to be available for Xbox One, Xbox Series S, X, PC. Like, it will break it down right at the bottom. So when you see Sony's showcase, they just show the game. They don't say anything. But then at the end of the showcase, they'll have someone like Jeff Keighley. Oh, yeah, it's going to be available for PlayStation 4, you know, and PlayStation 5. So I just don't like the whole slick marketing like that. I think it would be better to just be upfront. You know, Nintendo's done that with their console and their games. Xbox doing the same thing. But I feel like a lot of people are letting Sony doing like, hey, you know, hey, it's Sony. I love it. And that's it. Like, it's good to speak out and just say what you don't like when it comes to like your favorite company, because then other companies are going to be doing the same exact thing and going to start doing that slick marketing, not saying anything. And I personally, for me, that's not consumer friendly. We all win that everybody's going to have an opportunity to play these games, but be vocal about that too, man. That's what I feel about the whole thing, man. You know, so P, if you want to say anything, if not, we'll go to the next voicemail.
I think we've all beat this over the head, right? I mean, you could be as egregious as they did, and kudos to Sony. They pivoted and they released that retraction or that apology, which was necessary, right? They had to get out in front with that marketing. But, you know, how many gaffes can they have this generation before the actual launch, before people start giving them, you know, the flack that they deserve, right? I think we've all, from a media perspective, beaten them up pretty badly. And it's just, now let's see how well they recover. Let's see how well that they take a step back, realize their mistakes, and move forward. Because at the end of the day, that's how we all learn.
Respectfully, no one's going to care about this in a week.
Oh no! It's just the next mistake comes up, and then that's going to be the complaint.
But I'm just saying, in general, the couple things here, the quote unquote bait and switch with games now being playable on PlayStation 4, the pre-order fiasco, dude. This is just noise on social media. The average person don't care. They don't care. They just want to get PlayStation 5. Yeah, and they probably don't even know. You can't play on PlayStation 4? I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to matter at the end of the day. I think a lot of the stuff that we talk about, you know, quote unquote, in the gaming industry, the average person looks at us like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What? Why is that a thing? That's why I'll just say this really quick, because I don't care, because it's the truth. It's why I look at certain gaming outlets or gaming media journalists, and they basically write up these hit piece things where, oh, got them, gotcha. Like, they just literally do it to just stir up the hornet's nest. You know what I mean? For no reason. Like, there were people that were going after PlayStations, people that go after Xbox. But at the end of the day, the average consumer doesn't care. All they care about is, how much does it cost? When can I get it? What are the cool games I can play on it? That's it. And honestly, that's all it should be. For all of us, that's all it should be. We should be caring about playing the damn games and stop worrying so much about the politics that surround it. Now, if the politics are just straight up anti-consumer, absolutely. Let's talk about that. Let's be vocal about it. But what PlayStation did wasn't anti-consumer. If anything, it's a good, they did a good thing. But we see it in a negative light because they kind of misled us with some of their speak over the past 6 months or so. But at the end of the day, when you have a PlayStation 5 in your hand, you're not going to care about any of this. Or when you pick up Miles Morales for your PlayStation 4, you're not going to care. You're just going to be glad that you can play it. And that's it. And that's all it should be. You know, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm just getting old and cranky. Well, I'm always old and cranky, I guess. But I think we waste so much time talking about the politics of this stuff when a lot of it just doesn't matter. It doesn't. Okay, the pre-order thing was chaos. All right, they apologize. Okay, now let's move on. That's how I look at it. I think we dwell on these things way longer than it needs to be, you know? And like I said, by the time we get to November, go get your PlayStation, go get your Xbox, go get Cyberpunk, whatever, and enjoy it. That's all it should be. I would rather spend more energy talking about, and I won't curse, but talking about the stuff that's fun that we can be excited about versus the things that are negative that ultimately don't matter. And that's what I think a lot of what quote unquote gaming journalism and social media is about. We waste way too much time talking about things that ultimately don't matter, that aren't going to affect you when the actual product releases. You know? So
you know, my nephew called me the other day and he's like, oh man, I can't wait to pre-order a PlayStation 5 because I want to play Miles Morales and this. I'm like, it's coming up for PlayStation 4. He's like, well, I don't have to pre-order a PS5 then. I was like, okay. You know, because he had no idea that that was also coming out for a PlayStation 4. I had to tell him, and he's like, all right. You know, so, and he's happy. He's super excited, man. So the majority of people are going to be like that, man. Once they find out They're going to start playing it, you know, and they're good. We all win, like I said. So head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, later this week, I'll probably play more voicemails on the Thursday episode. So stay tuned on that. And that's about it, man. So if you guys want to be part of fan mail, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So it's Paris Destro. That's what Manny said.
I can be Destro.
Okay. What about Pete? What about Pete? What P is going to be?
Zartan.
I hate you. No, I don't want to be Zartan.
No? Why
not?
No. Major Blood.
Why can't I be like Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow? Why I got to be Zartan?
G.I. Joe, it's Cobra. You Major Blood. There you go.
All right. But now, everybody, thank you for listening to episode 1071. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Yes. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.